The story you're about to hear is from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 36 through 40. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care.
Compared to the stories we've been dealing with, this one actually feels normal. I've had fights that ended like this, you know? Feels oddly human.
Somebody said something, somebody got hurt. I'm just psyched I think I pronounced Pamphylia right. My name's May.
And my name's Eric. And this is Too Long Didn't Read.
Too Long Didn't Read is an irreverent look at a reverent book. It's a podcast about the Bible. This season we're uncovering the Bible stories you didn't learn in preschool. These aren't cute, there aren't coloring pages for them, they're violent. Weird, scandalous, and they're part of the Bible for a reason. Wonder why? So do we.
Today on Too Long Didn't Read, the Beatles break up and everyone blames Yoko. Paul and Barnabas break up and everyone blames John Mark. We're talking abandonment, conflict, and passive aggressiveness. This is the story of your favorite band breaking up.
What's the big deal? Why does it matter? Why does this take up any space in the Bible that two guys had a disagreement, somebody left, and then they went their separate ways?
Part of it comes down to who these people are that are having this disagreement. So on one side, you have Paul, the author of a significant portion of the New Testament. He took lots of missionary journeys traveling around the Mediterranean, starting new churches and raising up new leaders and all those sorts of things. So it's Paul that's in one side of this argument. It's interesting because of who's on the other side of it. And this gets kind of into the backstory of Paul himself. So you have Paul, who's this, you know, big rock star in the early church, essentially. But he wasn't always a follower of Jesus, you know. His former career, basically, he was a persecutor of the church, you know. He was the golden boy of the Jewish religious leaders, hated Christians, would pursue them from town to town, was actually traveling around to different cities in Israel, trying to track down followers of Jesus and put them to death, in essence.
He put the hurt on anyone who loved
he
Jesus.
He did. And he was known for it. That was his reputation. Paul was traveling on the way to a town called Damascus and has this whole conversion experience. He encounters Jesus and starts following him. He does this massive 180 with his life, which is awesome. Who's going to believe the sudden story of the guy who's been trying to track down followers of Jesus and put them to death? Do you want to be the first one to test the theory? I'm not sure I believe that suddenly Paul is now following Jesus.
So Paul's in this position where he is not going to be trusted by the people who follow Jesus.
Right.
And he is also going to be on the outs with these people that he was a part of before, because now he's saying he believes in Jesus, which was exactly what he was persecuting before.
Right.
So who are his allies?
He's stuck in the middle, and his earliest ally is Barnabas.
Barney.
He's the guy that kind of bridges that gap and says, okay, I will trust you, and kind of brings him in and vouches for him in the eyes of the early Christian community. It's like, no, you can trust him. Give him a second chance. Like, he's going to be okay. He's one of us now.
So in that verse we read, Barnabas and Paul are on opposing sides.
Yeah, that's where the band breaks up, basically.
Okay.
The first one of these big missionary journeys that Paul does, and he does three of them that are recorded in the New Testament, it's him and Barnabas that set out and travel around. And when they come back and get ready to go out the second time, that's the passage that we read here, Barnabas wants them to take this guy, John Mark, with them. And Paul isn't having any of it. He doesn't want to take John Mark because at some point during that first journey, John Mark bailed. It's this interesting scenario of Barnabas, the guy who gave Paul a second chance, now trying to give John Mark a second chance. And Paul's like, no, you know, he left us last time. I'm not taking him with us again.
Fair.
Yeah. Who's right and who's wrong in this scenario? It's not exactly clear cut.
So when you say they went on a mission trip, the longest mission trip I've ever been on is, I think, 12 days. That's not what this was like, right?
No. The reality is the partnership between Paul and Barnabas probably stretched back 10 or 15 years.
Oh my gosh.
And these journeys themselves were easily a year, 2 years, if not more.
So these are besties. These are,
yeah, this is not like a, we met last month and had this idea to go on a trip together and it didn't pan out. Like, you've been business partners for a decade and a half. And it's like, okay, are we parting ways after all that time over this guy?
Is that all we hear about it? Does this destroy the friendship?
In the narrative of those trips, we don't hear anything right away. You know, what we do see is later on in Paul's letters, there's a couple of different references that give us an indication of perhaps what transpired later. So when Paul is much later in his journeys, there's a point at which he's writing to a church and he mentions Barnabas as a fellow worker in the gospel. We don't know to what degree they've communicated or to what degree they've patched things up. But you do at least see, like, he recognizes he's still on my team. He's still fighting for the same thing I'm fighting for. He's not my enemy. The particularly cool part of the story is near the very end of Paul's life, in the book of 2 Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, thus the name. Paul's imprisoned at this point. He says, send John Mark to me because he's a great help. So at very least, you have this pretty strong indicator that in the years that followed, Paul's opinion of John Mark had changed drastically. And that, like, he saw him as this valued partner in what, you know, the mission of God as they were trying to spread the gospel and that sort of thing.
So if everything that we read in the Bible has some value to it, and we found some strange stories that have value to them.
Right.
This to me doesn't strike me as a lesson that only could be learned through the Bible. True. This is sort of like an episode of Full House, if I'm going right. to be honest. Like, you know, besties fight, besties make up, or are cordial.
Couple of commercials and a musical montage later, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
To me, this story is reassuring because, you know, it's easy to look at somebody like Paul who did all of this stuff and wrote these letters that are the New Testament and had this, you know, strong influence on the direction and growth of the church and all this sort of stuff, to see him still have these really huge moments of just humanity. You know, I don't know who was right in the fight. Barnabas and Paul, whoever was right, both of you probably had opportunities to make peace that you didn't take. Mm. You know, and it cost you a relationship. It cost you, you know, the work that you guys could have done together. And there's something that's oddly reassuring about the fact that even somebody like Paul still screwed up, still made mistakes. He was human.
Well, it just sounds like another example when we talked about Judah and Tamar, God using two people who have a lot of unredeeming qualities, and yet they are exactly who God chooses to use to accomplish his purpose. So Paul, who had a lot of great things, a lot of good things to offer, was a great teacher, got a lot of great things to say about Paul. And still, you know, he messed up.
Yeah.
And not to the demise of the gospel. God still did what he was going to do. Now, maybe it could have been done better.
Right.
But,
you know, it's not impossible to look at this story and some of the other events in Paul's life and go, like, you were undoubtedly a really strong leader and a very compelling teacher and all of that sort of stuff. I'm also not sure you might not have been had a tendency to be like a stubborn, hard-headed jerk too. Like, oh, I know some of those. I've been one of those. Like, okay, all right. You know, God can use you. God can use me.
Yeah.
What's it make you think? You have a very deep look on your face right now.
If I put myself in the position of John Mark, here's how he might feel. He is in this fold of guys who are doing something really big. He's obviously being invested in by them, at least by Barnabas. Mm-hmm. And he's in the realm of Paul, who's a big deal. First of all, he doesn't complete the first mission, so fail. And then he comes back, so he gets a second chance. And then whatever has happened, either because of the first thing he did or something new, these two guys who have been a stellar team for 15 years are now disagreeing so strongly over John Mark that they split, basically. So he has divided a powerhouse and has failed. I mean, he has just got to feel like a huge schmuck.
Yeah.
However, then, later on, we don't know for sure, but a lot of people think he wrote the book of Mark, the first account that was ever written about Jesus' life.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot wrapped up in that.
Yeah, it's a heck of a life arc to go through. Kind of early church tradition was that John Mark was 10 to 15 years younger than a lot of these guys, probably. You know, if not 20 even, but, you know, next generation down, basically. And then, like you said, you know, he travels with this powerhouse duo. And at some point in this, the kind of traditional story was got scared, got homesick, something like left them and you know, chickened out, bailed out on the mission. So feeling crappy about that already. And then, you know, like you said, divides this powerhouse. It would be easy to look at that and go, like, I've screwed up everything I've ever touched.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And caused, you know, to this mission that I want to be a part of, I've caused irreparable harm.
Mm-hmm.
To go from that guy and imagining all the self-doubt in his head to being called out later as a huge asset by Paul and being the author of one of these stories of Jesus, that's some huge strength of character to stay the course and make that kind of turnaround. It speaks volumes to him, you know, even in spite of his failure.
Okay, can I mansplain this?
Please, mansplain.
So you've got Paul, who was a former bad guy to followers of Jesus. He should not have been trusted by the people he had persecuted and now said he was for. He also probably shouldn't have been trusted by the people he was in cahoots with in the first place. So he's kind of a loner, and Barnabas takes him in. They're buddies, and then the bond just gets stronger and stronger. They go off and share Jesus with lots and lots of different people over the course of more than a decade.
Mm-hmm.
John Mark comes into the picture, fails in some way, potentially causes great harm to the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnabas later says, this is the guy I'd like to come on a trip with us, John Mark. In which Paul says, what? And it's like, no way. There's no way he's coming.
Womp womp.
Yep. And then it's a huge fight. Knockdown, drag out.
Yep.
I made that up. I don't know if they hit each other. But such a big disagreement that Paul and Barnabas, who had been on a team together for a long time and made huge strides to share Jesus with the world, they break up and now they're separated. However, later on, Paul calls out John Mark as being an asset, and the gospel keeps getting shared, and God uses two guys who weren't able to get through this disagreement to share the story of what how he wants to rescue the world.
Yep. Nice job. And as always, don't take just our opinions for it. You can read it yourself in Acts 15, verses 36 to 41. If this is your first time reading this story, we'd love to know what you think about it. Send us your thoughts to podcasts@crossroads.net.
Also, special thanks to our friend Jacob Durbin for the original music. Find more music from his band, Flying Things, on iTunes or Spotify. Too Long Didn't Read is a production of Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I didn't know you were a journalism major.
I was.
Oh,
I can tell you where the comma goes.
Okay. Oxford comma or no Oxford comma?
No.
Oh, actually, you're wrong.
Oh, gosh. The cereal.
Now we got some conflict.